This episode of the Within the Trenches podcast is sponsored by Indiana Nina as well as InDigital Telecom.
Warning, this episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good afternoon and welcome back to another episode to Within the Trenches. It's been a little bit since my last episode and I'm back this week, not only for Indiana Nina APCO 2015 Conference and Expo, but it's the National Public Safety Communicators Week. You hear that? I jacked that one up. And I'll make sure to leave that in there. You know what I didn't tell you guys? I'm just going to tell you now, even on the recording, is that I don't edit any of this. So, unless you guys really want something, edit it out. Well, then I'll do it. Otherwise, we'll just let it go.
We're free to use profanity, though, right?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes. And if we do, I always put a warning in the beginning.
You'll probably need one for this.
Yeah, go ahead and put that on there.
Okay, good. Okay. So this week is all about dispatch and recognizing the true first responders of public safety. And I'm going to be telling stories all week here. And I'm also going to be speaking here and be telling my dispatch story for almost 2 years. I've been telling or helping tell a lot of stories from public safety, and not a lot of people know mine. So this one is going to be about me, how I got into it, and you know, everything from the show to where I am now as an industry partner, and the rut that I fell into, and the shitstorm that was dispatch, and the calls that I took. So that'll be interesting for people to hear. I hope the three of you enjoy it. It should be fun. We'll have some fun there. But today's guest that I have today for episode 81, I have Nirvana. She's a dispatcher out of Lafayette PD. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
Excellent. And then I have two dispatchers out of
Vigo.
Yeah, okay. Vigo. You guys say Vigo, but I hear Vigo all the time.
Yeah.
I know I asked this question last year, I believe it was episode 62, with a couple of people that you guys work with, and they said Vigo as well, but Vigo too. And so,
yes. Yeah.
Explain it again. It's been a year.
I don't know. I think it all kind of depends on where you're from. Like, I'm not originally from Indiana, so I pronounce things different anyways.
And that actually, that is Kelly talking. And my other guest here is Victoria.
Yes.
So you think it's just because of where you're at?
I think it can be.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's more of like whatever your tongue is to say. You know, I say either. Some people say either. It's a tomato-tomato type of thing with Vigo-Vigo.
Interesting. What about Barry and Barry?
Barry and Barry?
Yes.
Like A or E?
A or E. Is there a difference there when you're pronouncing it?
No.
No?
No.
Like
no.
Not for Barry me. With an A or Barry with an E?
No.
Or is it just the way you say it?
I don't know any Barry, so.
The only reason I ask is because there's this radio show that I listened to, and they had this thing where it was the Barry debate or something like that. And someone called in, they kept saying, there is a difference. There's a difference between the E and the A. And he was saying, Barry, 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 Barry.
They probably weren't a good time anyways. So
they might've been drunk. I don't know. It could have been anything.
Yeah. It's just whatever you want. Vigo.
Yeah. Vigo. We're not offended by either.
Not at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good.
We're offended when you can't say Terre Haute though.
Terre Haute.
Yeah. Terre Haute.
Or Terre Haute.
I've actually heard that before. Do you ever get anything with yours, Lafayette? Is it like
not
Lafayette?
Really, it's mostly the street names.
Oh, really?
That they butcher.
Like, what crazy ones do you have?
They're not really crazy. We have Schuyler Avenue, but they pronounce it Schuler because it's spelled S-C-H-U-Y-L-E-R.
Okay, then I would have been the one to say it that way.
It's just the streets.
That's weird.
We have a Lafayette Avenue in Terre Haute, and I've heard it called La Flotte before.
Never heard that one. I've heard it called something, but I can't remember what it is right now.
Yeah, I've definitely heard it called La Flotte before.
Spell it. Oh, you mean Lafayette.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because Sooth, they, especially alarm companies, butcher it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't even do what they say.
We have a Sioux Street that gets called Sox.
Sox.
Yeah.
And one dispatcher called it Seox.
Yeah.
Seox wow. Street. And see, the fire department was like, come again.
Can you spell it and use phonetics, please? Because exactly. That's not working right. Yeah. You know, actually, my name was always getting jacked up when I first started dispatching at the last PSAP I was at. My name is Ricardo. But I don't know if it was because when I would answer the phone, Elegant Central, this is Ricardo, they didn't hear the "rih" part. So they would always say, "Oh, Carlos, yes." I'm like, wait, what?
I think people just generally don't listen. I am Victoria and I've been called Gloria 3 times in one call.
Well, I can see that. And that's not even close.
Yeah. Your name is Nirvana, which is an awesome band.
Yes. Yeah.
So excellent name.
I'm a little older than they were.
They were named after you.
There you go. Very nice. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. They used to destroy my name. Sometimes they would even call me Rodrigo. Yeah. My partners on phones would say, is there a Rodrigo here? And I immediately start laughing because I knew it was me that they were talking about. And I would get on the phone and I would say, "This is Ricardo." And they would go, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I'm like, "Oh, for what?" He's like, "I butchered your name." I was like, "Yeah, you did."
Yeah. We actually had a slow day a couple weekends ago. Uh-huh. And one of our female dispatchers kept introducing herself as Jeffrey on the phone just to see who would pick it up. And nobody ever did.
Wow.
It happens.
That's funny. See, we used to have a thing where we would do pirate talk. And so whenever we would talk to somebody, whether it be on the radio, as long as it wasn't high priority traffic, of course.
Yeah.
Or a 911 call, if it was just a non-emergency line or something, we would try to talk as much as possible as a pirate. And we'd send messages back and forth and it'd say, "Okay, throw in an R." And so how are you doing right now? And
you know, I would lose it.
Oh, it was good because I mean, everybody would be laughing and you're trying to stay, you know, professional.
Yeah. I laugh at everything. I could not ever pull that off.
No,
I get hysterical over everything. So I can't, I'm always the one telling somebody else to do it. Like, do this. This is going to be so funny.
You know, one of my favorite things. Yes. Meow. Yeah. We used to do that all the time. We did that on midnight shift. One of the officers dared me to do it. And I was like, "All right, man, well, I'll go ahead and do it." And there was an officer who had keyed up. And I honestly couldn't remember if he wanted one or two report numbers. So I said to him, "Is that going to be one or two, meow?" And he's like, "What was that?" And I repeated it. And then he goes, it's just going to be one. And then I sent the message to the officer who said it, who dared me to do it originally. And he missed it. And I was like, I was like, I just did it. And it was like asteroids coming up on my screen. It was like a game. All these messages popping up. They're like, "That was amazing." And he's like, "You got to do it again." I was like, "I can't do it now. I got to wait for a good moment." So, you know, we had that. And we used to do there's a movie called Saving Silverman, and there's a scene where Jack Black has a radio, and when he hits it, it goes krk, but he's making the voice himself. So we started doing that on the radio. I was on radios and I'd be like, "Krk, Central to, you know, whoever," and they'd go, "Krk, go ahead." And, and we just kept going back and forth. And but
it's more fun whenever they participate.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
it's funny you mention that too, because we have a coworker that likes to do that. And that's where he got it from.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm not good at it. That's why I don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to do they still do it now. They've carried it on since I left, but they would do just a sniff on the radio. One of the deputies started it and I did it back to him and we would send messages back and forth. Like, I don't know why that was funny, but that was funny. So someone would key up and give some traffic, like the state would give traffic or something. And then a deputy would come up right afterwards and just... It was stupid, but it was funny, man. And yeah, it was great. And we still did the sniff thing all the way up until I left. And like I said, they're still doing it now. But with all the other stuff, one of the supervisors didn't like it. Antarctica out. So
of course.
Yeah. So,
we so it's always got to be a spoil sport.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so we had to stop doing it, but we ended up doing something else where the,
we always find,
yeah, find a way course, around
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Dispatchers are resourceful. We use what we have to get the job done. And in this sense, this job,
well, if you take this job too serious, you won't last long.
No, exactly. You
You'll never make it out.
Yeah. And that's exactly why, you know, we were doing it. And of course, like I said in the beginning, we weren't doing it during high priority stuff. It was like 3 a.m. when there's nothing going on. So yeah. And they had a problem with it. So what the officers ended up doing was they would pull over a car, and instead of just saying, you know, this car is white, they would say pearl white or burnt orange or smoke gray or something. And they would just be going through all of these colors. Like, you guys are amazing. Like,
that's great.
Yeah. It's like, that's
it
good
makes
stuff.
3 o'clock in the morning so much easier whenever you have somebody fun on the other end of that radio.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. You guys ever sing in the dispatch room?
Yeah. We have a few that do. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear me singing.
So what are your favorite songs? Like, what do you guys sing
in the dispatch room?
Yeah. Come on now.
We're fans of like R&B and hip hop.
We got country.
Well, yeah. Some nights we like to country. Put on like old like 90s rap and try to rap along.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Lil Wayne though, so I always got to have a little bit of Lil Wayne in there.
I'm like thing some or something.
Ja Rule.
Yeah. Ja Rule.
Oh, there you
Snoop
go.
Dogg.
That's funny. We used to go with our favorite song, our go-to song at 3:30 in the morning would be Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
we would belt it out, and it would be, I've got a pretty deep voice, and I would try to get my ass up there to that reel that I can't even do it now. I know it, my voice will crack and I would be like, I'm 13 years old again.
For a while we had like a 3 a.m. dance party, and none of us really danced, but we just find something on YouTube and then hit the playlist and just there play whatever.
You just, it just takes that tension away, especially if you've had like a really busy night and that 3 o'clock hits and we're just like, you know what, let's just turn on some Snoop Dogg and just do these
just get down, do the TLC.
we do it.
Yeah, no, that's definitely good. You have to find a way to get through it, because if you dwell on it, well, you probably wouldn't be here right now.
Mm. No, yeah, not at all.
Yeah, because it can suck a lot. So, let's get some background stories from each of you. Nirvana, let's start with you. How did you start out in dispatching? Like, what really brought you into it? Why did you want to do it?
Well, I was always interested in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And I spent 6 years in the military as a police officer in the Air Force. And when I came back, I wanted to be an officer. That didn't work out because of my back injury with the Air Force. So I applied for the department and it's been on ever since. I've always been interested in law enforcement. It's just been my thing.
Hmm. Nice. Well, you're like badass then. You got a lot of good background.
I'm scared of you.
I know.
I'm going to move my chair away.
Probably, kill us with a thumb spike to the throat or something.
I know. Well,
I have four brothers, you know, they've.
Oh, well,
oh, that'll do it.
Yeah.
If I want to go out tonight, can you come along with, just right. in case?
You can be the bodyguard.
The bodyguard, yeah.
Take anybody out.
That's right.
What about you, Victoria?
I just always had a passion for helping somebody, mm-hmm. or just people, I guess, really people that I like mostly, but other people too. I'm one of 6 children. I hate saying it. I'm number 2 as far as the order goes. 5 girls, 1 boy. So,
okay. See, now you're opposite. I've got 4 brothers and a sister.
Just 4 sisters and 1 brother. And I mean, it was just always, we are Hispanic, so we're super duper close even to this day.
Right.
And it was kind of like a fend for yourself. You got to fight your brothers and sisters type of thing. And so I grew up taking care of my younger brothers and sisters. I just wanted to help people. Mm-hmm. And I thought about college for like social work, but then I realized I'd probably become like too attached to every single case. And I'd want to adopt all the kids and bring all the parents right. to come live with me. So yeah. I was like, you know, I don't think I'm going to do that. And honestly, I walked into dispatch because my friend was a dispatcher mm-hmm. in Fargo County. And she said, we have an opening, come apply. So I said, okay. And I applied, and I didn't hear anything for an exact like year. I applied in June, and then I heard from Rob the next June.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah. So no background.
What was that like?
You know, ask Rob about that. No.
I can't imagine applying and being like, all right, yeah, I think I'm going to get this. And then nothing.
Well, that's why. Because I applied and I'm like, I'm not going to get this. This is just so a then job.
It really didn't.
No, it was just a job. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, a job that I applied for probably everything possible mm-hmm. under the sun. And then I ended up working at a retail store and never did retail before in my life. I was a banker before all that. And I got management 3 months after starting my first retail job ever. And then I was a manager in a retail store and Rob called me 9 months later and was like, hey, you still interested in this job? And I'm like, well, I've got a management job. What? And Rob told me the pay and I was like, I'll come interview with you. And yeah. And then I started 2 months later after I went through the second interview and I gave my notice. And I mean, that's just how, and then I walked into the Shark Tank.
The Shark Tank. The yes. Shark you were saying that earlier. Yes. So what do you think about the job now?
I love my job. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate about my job. I really am. It's helping people, even the people who want the neighbor's dog to stop barking and our officers to go put a muzzle on them at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I try to remind myself that 2 years ago, I was probably one of those people who would have called 911 for that. But I love the job. There's mm-hmm. days where I go home and I just want to sleep for 3 days or maybe right. for 3 days. Yeah. I don't know. But I love the job itself and I can't see myself doing anything else ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how do you, you were saying that if you thought about it, you know, if you went into social work that mm-hmm. you would want to bring all the families in and everything else. How does that work with you taking phone calls, especially like kids?
It, does a number on me while I'm in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a, how do you say, I'm really like kind of hard on the outside, mushy on the inside. So even when it's a kid on the phone, I'm like, oh, you know, you get the, I'm a mom of two. So I get the mom voice like, oh, hi, honey. Where's mommy? Right. You know? And then I hang up and I force myself to just kind of disconnect because I have their address. I can go take them home.
That's funny. This is true. Yes.
But, I've trained myself pretty well to leave whatever's outside that door outside and inside the door inside. And, I just kind of take it as I did everything I could to help. And, I feel like social work, they'd be in front of me. It's easier to hang up a phone.
That's true. That is very true.
It is. And so that's how I do that.
Man. Well, that's good. What about you, Kelly? How'd you get into dispatching?
I actually started as a volunteer firefighter.
Oh,
in high school. It's funny. Victoria mentioned that I really wanted to be in social work too. Mm-hmm. And I started college and I hated it. I absolutely hated college. So I dropped out and I worked a ton of retail. So I had the customer service background and then I got on the volunteer fire department and I loved it until I had to deal with EMS. And I liked the trauma part of it. But when I had to go like do nursing home transfers mm-hmm. or deal with the elderly, I couldn't take it.
Yeah.
Like people have connections with kids, but I don't have my own kids. So I don't have that connection. So I have grandparents and everybody has grandparents. I love my right. grandparents so much. And I can deal with the sick elderly people in the nursing home. So, and if you don't do EMS, you don't do firefighting. So, I saw an ad in the paper for a local, private ambulance mm-hmm. and they hired me. So I stayed there and then I applied at Vigo County 4 different times before I finally got hired.
Yes.
So what happened there?
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm pretty good at it. And our private ambulance company kind of has a retention problem for their dispatchers just because their training wasn't, you know, up to snuff and mm-hmm. burnout and stuff like that. You didn't get paid enough. So, but it was a job for me and I loved it. So I stuck with it until Vigo County finally picked me up.
So you talk about pay and stuff, and a lot of people, you know, the public, they don't know that for all the shit that we deal with in dispatching and stuff, we don't get paid all that great.
No.
You know, when I tell people all the time, it's like, you know how much money I got paid starting out in Florida? Because I started out my dispatch career in Florida, which you guys will hear a lot about more tomorrow, but I started there. But my per hour was $7.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. This was 2001, okay. I believe. 2001, 2002.
I started a little bit more than that in 94.
Dang.
I think I started at 9 at the private ambulance.
Ours was, I want to say 15 or 16 in 94.
Man.
Or I'm sorry, 95.
That's amazing.
I was in the wrong spot.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Where did you start?
Yeah. Man. Yeah. So, I was getting paid $7 an hour and, it was 8 hour shift and it was a small police department and it was just me for 8 hours.
$7 is not enough an hour.
Not for this job.
Not by yourself.
No, not at all. But it was, I mean, okay, you think Florida and you think, you know, it's very, you know, expensive there and stuff, but the cost of living in the area that I was in
was
nothing. I was in Central Florida. Okay. I was around like Lakeland area, Lakeland, Florida. So from there, I actually had a house. I had a huge front and backyard. I had a boat and a dock. I lived on the lake for $500 a month.
That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah, and it was a 2-bedroom, 1-bath, and it was a big house.
By yourself?
So, it was myself and my now wife and my younger brother.
That was a little bit personal there, Victoria.
Sorry. Yeah.
How dare you?
Who are you living with? Just
Which bedroom was yours?
It was the one in the right-hand corner. and my brother stayed with us as well. But it was actually going to be $700. But she asked me, the landlord, she goes, so where do you work? And I said, well, I work for Frostburg Police Department. And I'm a 911 dispatcher. And she goes, that is great. You know what? How about we knock down the rent to about $500 a month? I was like, you are awesome. Thank
you. That is awesome.
Yeah. So that helped me out. That helped me out a lot. But that $7 an hour kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But for that area, it was good. When I left there after the 3 years that I was there, I think I ended at 9.
That's what I was making in retail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that you guys say that you started out in retail as well, because that's what I did. I managed a couple stores, one of them being a Blockbuster Video. So all I had.
You're going to have to explain what that is. Your listeners probably don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that everybody knows what Blockbuster is.
For those of you who don't know what Blockbuster Video is, it was a store where you could go in and rent VHS tapes. And if you don't know what a VHS tape is, just Google it.
Please.
I still have some VHS tapes.
I used to go get
So do I.
Land Before Time.
Nice. That's a classic.
It is.
I have all of those. On VHS.
There's like 20 of those. They should have stopped with the first one.
They should have. It was horribly sad.
The first one was the best.
Oh, but the second one with the little purple dinosaur, he wasn't that bad. Chomper, don't act like you don't still remember the
second one. Oh, I don't remember part two. I only saw the first one
because I cried so hard I didn't want to see any more of them.
No, the second one. It was a baby T-Rex's name was Chomper.
Chomper.
The music's playing in my head, but I will not do that to anybody and sing it to this microphone.
Petrie was the best anyways.
Petrie was the best.
I could not stand Petrie. Don't do that. I like Sarah.
Oh, Petrie was the best.
The Triceratops, right? Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I remember that. Yeah. All right. So
moving on from 1993.
Holy crap, man. I remember watching that damn movie in the theater too.
I watched Casper in movie theaters and cried.
I didn't cry. Almost said, so did I.
I went with my mom and I'm like, Mom, please never die.
Yeah, that is a sad movie.
Yeah, see?
That's crazy. Yeah. When those movies came out, popcorn was actually like $5. Now you spend more on the popcorn and pop than you do.
Yeah, for, absolutely. That's why we don't go to movies.
Movie ticket. Yeah. Just stream everything online.
Netflix.
Well, yeah.
Netflix.
There. Okay, good. You saved me. Yes. Netflix. Do it on Netflix.
Blockbuster was a Netflix you walked into.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Nirvana, what was it like for you when you very first started dispatching? I mean, you walk in there and what was it like?
Well, I had the old system. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have any computer monitors. We just had the old radio and the old rotary dial phone. It wasn't
as much of a pain was that? Because I remember I had a rotary dial phone. It was like,
well, that's all.
It's like, this number's got two nines in it.
That's all you start off with.
It took you 4 days to dial it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just what you started off with and started mm-hmm. training. And the training back then was really easy. It was only within like a couple weeks and you were out of training.
Oh,
go,
man.
Go, you know, 20 years from now, then our training goes anywhere from 6 months to a year.
Right.
Because you have all this technology. But it's improved so much that you have so much to look at. You have the officer safety side of it where you can help them out by trying to figure out what they need before they get to their call.
Right. Yep.
Before it was, everything was in a file on an old dot matrix computer.
Oh man. with the printer that was like, yeah.
And everything was written out and then typed out once they got into the report.
Did you use a punch card?
Yes.
Okay. See, I never used the punch card, but I always hear about it.
We had a time clock.
Right.
And we had these little cards, and you would timestamp the time the call came in, mm-hmm. the time the officer got sent to the call, the time they arrived, the time they cleared. And then we had a notebook. If they wanted a case number, we'd write it down, put in what it was for, what address, then type something on these little index cards and give them to them so they finish their report.
What?
Wow.
Holy crap. It sounds like a lot.
That does sound like a lot.
But it sounds like it'd be a little more accurate as well if you're punching you.
Well, I think the computers are more accurate now. Yeah. But now you get the call, you put all the stuff in the computer. Now if the computer crashes, all these younger ones wouldn't know what to do.
Yes, exactly.
Because they're not used to having the pen and paper in front of them. They're not used to looking at have a clock in front of them to write down the time.
Yeah, we had an older CAD system, and when I left there, we had a brand new one that we had been working on. But the other one was like an MS-DOS type thing where you had to tab to each field to type everything in, and we had to memorize everything: township code, city code, the ORIs. Everything had to be memorized. And I remember I actually at home I still have my book full of all that crap.
Your
Bible. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that I had to memorize. And every night at 1 a.m, it would shut down. That CAD system, we would have to shut it down for 3 hours.
Oh no.
Because it was doing maintenance and it would have to reload and do all this other crap. So some of the newer people, when they got there, when we were doing their training, they would say, well, what's going on? I said, well, we got to do maintenance now. And they would say, well, what do we do? And they're like, kind of like jumping around doing the pee-pee dance. And they're like, what do we do with this now? How do we take notes?
Pen and paper.
Yeah. I was like, you see that stack of paper right there in that pen? You take notes. You write down exactly what they say or whatever you have to write down so you know what they said, and then do your own timestamp.
Now see, with
really?
We used to have, our fire department used to have a big metal cabinet. So mm-hmm. when they would call in a fire, we'd go find the street on that cabinet, on that little card, and it'll tell us what firehouses to send.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And somebody had to update that.
Right.
Whenever we annexed in.
Yeah. See,
luckily the fire department did that.
Oh, but then
now
good.
With our CAD, all mm-hmm. it does is it recommends what units to send.
Okay. So it gives you like an automatic fire run card then. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fire is what throws me.
Yeah.
Every time I can figure out officers, I can figure out districts. And if it's an actual fire and you've got to send all these engines and tankers, and I'm like, oh, please somebody help me with this fire.
You don't have anything written down like an ESN book?
No. I'm like, Kelly, do we?
No, because I only asked because we had an ESN book where everything was listed, every single township and everything was listed. And, well, the number is what I mean, the ESN number. So it'd be like 138 and it would say Sagatuck Fire goes here. They require first responders if it's a medical. AMR goes along with them. And if they need JAWS, they have to go through Grass Cup or something like that. You know, we had it all laid out so that we would know.
Now, our computer automatically does all that. We only have one fire department. We have five houses, different houses. So, and it'll tell us which ones to send.
Nice.
I think we have 12 or 13. That's our problem.
What engine went, if we sent the squad for just a medical, you know, it tells, it's automatically in the computer.
I think we had like 18 or something.
See, we don't. Yeah. We just dispatch one fire department.
Nice.
Now, the sheriff's department, they have several.
Yeah, we do city and county fire. So
yeah, we're consolidated, so we do all of it.
I've just been super lucky that I have like smart people in the room with me.
Well, that's good because you depend on your team. You know, you're supposed to be like
it's a great teamwork, you know, effort in there. But you know, that reminds me, somebody's got to write that down for me because one day they're going to be busy.
See, we ended up putting all that information on the computer after a while because the books, they were falling apart. Even though we would put them in new binders and stuff, you're whipping through them as fast as you can to find stuff that they start ripping apart. So we had those main ESN numbers on the computer. So we just put up a PDF and have it there the whole time and we could just look it up. So
we're kind of lucky that we have, I'm going to choose my words carefully, smart firemen. So if we make a mistake, they'll politely correct us. They kind of know where they belong more than we do in that situation. So
politely correct us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like your quotes.
The air quotes. All our squad cars and all our fire trucks have mobile data terminals. They have computers in their cars. So
nice.
If the fire department's smart enough to use them,
choose your words correctly. Politely.
You know, they will automatically, you know, go in route or whatever. If we had a new fire back in the day, we would have to, if they didn't know what a street was, they had a map in their cars. So we would have to give them the page number of the map so they can turn to it to figure out where to go.
Oh.
Dang.
See, I'd say sorry about you. You can find your own page number.
I mean, we had it in front of us because it said so on the card what page number it would go to. They would just flip to that page number to find out where to go.
Do you guys give times and numbers as well to fire and EMS or
we
no?
We just do fire.
Just fire.
Arrival times.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, we our do system, times and numbers.
Yeah, our system usually tracks it for us and it prints it out to them whenever they complete off the call. But in the event the technology does not work, and
of course,
or we've had the case where they just didn't have paper in their printer.
or it wasn't turned on at all.
Often than not. They call and it's super easy. It spells it out for you on the screen.
Yeah, right.
Dispatched, en route, like on scene, completed.
I honestly think nowadays with the technology, it is easier. I mean, you have so much to do though, but it's easier to keep track of your officers. So if somebody is in distress, they have their AVLs on. We know where they're at if they can't enter the radio. You know, 20 years ago, we didn't have that. We had to really pay attention where they called out. And if they were on a call, if they set their emergency off, where were they last?
Yeah.
At? You know,
I'm a huge fan of AVL.
So am I.
I love it as well.
Do your officers ever call each other out on the radio because of the AVLs?
Nope.
Our officers like to shut them off.
I
like to shut them off. It's actually fun, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning when you don't get a call. And our AVL, you can click on your officer. It tells you the last time they moved and how fast they're going, if they are moving.
Very nice.
It's fun sometimes to say, hey,
we'll do a little bit of snooping around.
What you been doing since 2 hours ago?
I really don't think they understand how concerned we can be though.
I agree.
The AVLs can be just as bad as they can good.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Now, I question technology. I love technology. Obviously, I grew up with it. We've done pen and paper in dispatch before for hours, days, even. I see the benefits of both, honestly. Now, If it's a fire, I'm handing it off to somebody else. but I see the benefits of both. And I question technology, even if it's AVL could be working and there's no calls out.
Right.
I'm like, what if he's really not there? Like, what if something happens in this moment and I just go by what his AVL says and I send, you know, the cavalry here and he's not there, then they're going to be mad at me. But, and so I question it. So sometimes I'm like, can you TX dispatch and call in here and let me see what you're doing?
It's funny that you say TX.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to use the lingo there.
No. That's fine. If that wasn't, I guess I didn't explain that in the beginning either. If you use any lingo, just explain what it means.
Yes.
For those who don't know about it. Yeah. but the funny thing is that it seems like that's like straight across the board. Like everybody uses TX.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Does anybody know why?
No. But if you use it to people that don't work in the same environment, they're like, what do you mean?
TX? Of course. I used to
text?
A lot of us talk in
10 codes to each other. And then you say it to somebody that's not used to that. And they're like, what are you talking about?
Right. Yeah. My wife used to tell me, don't talk to me. You're not at work. Don't talk to me like that. Or if we were getting into like a small argument or something, I didn't know that I was doing it, but she would say, you're talking to me like you're on the phone with somebody. I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, you're really talking to me like you're on a domestic call or something. I'm like, oh,
I'm going to shut it off.
It's hard to get out of the habit. I was working, we had a volunteer thing at my son's school for band. Mm-hmm. And I had one of the radios talking to the band director and I almost went into the 10 code. So I'm like, can't do that. They won't know what I'm saying.
It's kind of funny though to throw codes around and while we're in there and we're like, you know, I need to go get coffee. I'm going to be 1076 units en route to coffee. And I mean, it's so silly, but you just say it.
You ever get pulled over and throw them out?
No.
Come on now.
Knock on wood. I've never gotten pulled over.
I have.
Since I've started.
Me too.
Since you started.
Well, before I didn't know the 10 codes to throw them out. But since I've started, and I've been pretty lucky, and there's one officer who just pulls people over all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's in the little city right off of Vigo County. It's just Westerhout. And he's gotten behind me a few times, like in the car, and he's turned his lights on. And then I kind of, I look at him in the rear view mirror or the side mirror, and then he turns his lights off. And I'm like, oh, he's so nice.
Oh, that's funny. Now, I got pulled over once and I was saying, yeah, you can go ahead, you know, check my 28 and my 26 and my 29. It'll be clear. It'll be fine. And he just kind of stands there and he goes, all right, I'll do that. But, how did you know that? How did you know those codes? And then I said where I worked and he's like, okay. I'll be right back. I'm like, all right, I know.
I think about if I get, I go over to my mind whenever I'm driving the speed limit down the street. And just in case I get pulled over,
yeah.
I'm like, do I slide on my dispatcher badge with my driver's license? Like, here you go.
You just throw it up there on the dash.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't have a badge. Well, wait a minute. Do you mean like an actual, like a metal badge?
Oh,
or you
no,
just
no.
mean like a card?
Like an ID card.
And it has my picture on it. Like, here you go. Run my driver's license off of that name.
Here's both of them.
Wink,
oops,
wink.
That's not my driver's license. Sorry.
How did that get there?
You want to be like a cherry picker. Do you know Officer So-and-so? He's my friend.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah. Name dropping. Not all of them dig it, but.
No. Quite honestly, when people call in and name drop, is so-and-so working? I'm like, you're going to get the officer I send you.
Oh,
you
yes.
You didn't get to choose your officer.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to hang up on you.
Yeah, I used to hate that when people would call in and they would start, you know, shopping for officers. Yeah. Is this one working? No. Well, how about this one? No, that one's not on either. Well, who is it that is working? It's like, they're actually all off right now. There's nobody working.
There's nobody working. You're on your own.
I always say, I don't know. What's your problem? Yeah. I don't know. Where you at?
Tell me what's going on. Then I'll have somebody give
anymore.
You a call.
No, they don't.
So what was your... Now, I know you said yours. Your training program was pretty much like mine when I went to Florida and I watched my trainer take 2 phone calls. And he's like, all right, Ricardo, you're next. I'm like, ah, no, really? He goes, no, really, you're next. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, in the beginning, it was like that.
Yeah.
But now you have a whole lot more to go through.
Right, yeah, there's a lot of different things.
A lot of different things. Just SOPs, you mm-hmm. know, standard operating procedures have changed from 20 years ago, how we do things. I mean, you have 911, you have 911 texting.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have that. We no, not everybody, not every Tom, Dick, or Harry carried a cell phone.
True.
So you had 20 years ago, you got that one call for an accident versus today you get 20 calls for the same accident.
Yeah, because yeah, everybody has a phone. The everybody involved. Wants to be a hero.
It's always
yeah.
passerbys.
That's
I
right.
I never get it. I'm like passerby. Waiting for the person who's actually involved in the accident, because then they can actually tell you if somebody's injured. And it's like passerby, passerby, mm-hmm. passerby, passerby. And you never get that.
And nobody
phone call
stops
from the
either.
No, I'm
even
like,
see
so did you stop?
Anything.
Well, there's somebody laying on the ground. Did you stop? No. Thanks.
Man, I had a call once where this guy called, he's walking his dog down the road and he calls in an accident. This car flipped. And I said, well, can you go over there and see if there's anyone in there and if they're okay or something? And he goes, no, I can't. I just wanted to call to let you know that the car was there. I said, well, how far away is it from you? And he's like, well, I'm walking right by it. I was like, you can't look in. And I can hear somebody in the background yelling for help. And he's like, no, I can't. And I'm like, okay.
No,
and
I've done my
They're always
duty.
Like, well, yeah. I just wanted somebody to know. Okay, about. Well, yeah, that exactly. doesn't help us a whole lot. We want to help them. You should go check on them. Mm-hmm. Please.
So, back in 94, when I was pregnant with my daughter, we were moving up to North Dakota, where the Air Force was sending me. Mm-hmm. And we rolled our car.
Oh.
But no, nobody got hurt. It was just a fluke accident. Mm-hmm. Well, we get out of the car and there's cars lined up all the side of the road. I guess North Dakota has a no stop law. If you don't stop to see to check the accident out, make sure there's nobody hurt, you can get a ticket.
Oh, wow. Nice. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's nice. Awesome.
That's kind of like the, what is it? The Good Samaritan law or something like yeah. that, where if you see somebody like getting beat up or something and you don't mm-hmm. go over there and help them, that you can be... You can get in trouble as yeah. well. Or I think it's the same thing with like law enforcement or something. If you don't go out and help them, then
like
you can get in trouble.
I can't speak to the, you know, trueness of it, but I, you know, somebody's mentioned to me, like if someone has a nurse's plate mm-hmm. and they are driving, like if they get caught, like just driving by an accident, not stopping to help, then you can call and report like their plate number and they can get in trouble because they're supposed to
really?
If they get this registered nurse plate.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one either.
I've heard that one.
I don't know about that, but I know it was always kind of understood if you were like a firefighter or EMT and you decided, oh, I'm going to put these stickers in my window, that you better stop. Like, well, I don't think it's like a written law or anything, yeah. but I think it's going to come down on you later on down the line.
What about like, I mean, everyone's EMD certified, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So you have a little bit of knowledge there and you have to be CPR certified.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
What if that happened right in front of you?
I'd stop in a heartbeat.
I would love to say I would. I've never came across it, so I can't say for sure. But
nice.
I would love to say
well
I would.
Well done.
Yeah, really.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. I think if I saw an accident, only because I know how the receiving 911 call is mm-hmm. and there's no information, I would be like, I just want to do everything to help.
See, I used to run scenarios in my head. I've been in Walmart or Meijer or something and standing in line to check out, I'm thinking, okay, if this person was to go down, I got to make sure scene safety and everything and do this and that. You call 911. You go get the AED.
Go get the crash cart.
I actually have an EMD book at home.
Oh, really?
Because of my Spanish, uh-huh. whenever they have somebody, I mean, our computer, they have a language line now that they can use, but sometimes it's not efficient.
Right.
So they'll patch me through at home when I'm at home and I'll just get the EMD book out.
That's awesome.
Dang.
That's a really good idea.
Do you get great. Paid extra for that?
I get overtime.
Oh, I was going to say, you yeah. sure as hell should be if exactly. you're doing that.
Give me your home number.
I don't want to learn Spanish now.
Right? Make some overtime. Yeah.
I know a little bit. Enough to say hi.
Yeah, I do as well. I always say that mine's a little more broken than fixed, but I had to use it every time. But sometimes the people just had a thick accent and they could speak English. They just had a thick accent, but somebody on the other side would just be like, oh, Ricardo, you got to translate for this call. And yeah, I would get on there and they would hear me talking in English and they're like, what the heck? He was speaking in Spanish. Like, no, he wasn't. He just had a thick accent.
Yeah.
Or you get the ones that they think they're Hispanics and they transfer them over to me and they're Asian.
Oh, yeah. Like you can't tell the difference.
No. Yeah.
I know I've told this before, but I have to say it again because it's funny. I had a coworker who was just speaking to a guy who had a thick accent, and she goes, "Sir, I'm sorry. I cannot understand what you're saying. I don't speak Spanish." And he yells out back to her on the phone, "I don't either. I'm Indian." And it was hilarious because me and another a partner of ours is sitting there and we're listening to this because she was sending us messages saying, "Just try to listen to hear if what he's saying because I can't understand." And immediately I was like, "He's not Mexican at all or Hispanic or anything." I said, "He's something else. I don't know what it is." But then she said that and we were just busting up.
Oh my.
So we had to give her shit about it.
I would have totally lost it if that was me or somebody else.
Yeah.
I would have been like, "Oh, sorry." Or,
you say sir to somebody.
I was going to say it's like the sir, ma'am.
I've done it.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
Bad one.
I don't know which one's worse. If it call a sir, a ma'am, or a ma'am, a sir, I really don't know. I've done both.
Yeah. So have I. I don't think it.
If I'm not sure, I don't say anything.
I try not to. I'm like, "Oh," or I ask their name. And if it's like a name that that could be, like either one, I'm like, "Oh, I don't know." So then I just move on. It's Pat. Hello, Pat. Kelly and I are really silly, by the way.
No, that's good because when I get the two of you and your other coworker and maybe Rob on at the same time,
it's going to be amazing. Yes. Branson is amazing. So I can't wait for that one.
Since the both of you come from the same county, what was your training like?
Hers is different from mine because I was, whenever I started, of course, no background.
Right.
We had just developed a training program and Rob said anywhere between 3 to 6 months of training, maybe up to a year, probably not a year. And so I'm like, okay. So my trainer had actually just completed a training class and I went in with no experience, just customer service. And I sat with him, only him, all day, every day for 12 hours. I listened the first 2 days. I just listened. I plugged in and listened. That was it. And then...
Did you have the umbilical cord?
Yes. I hated that stupid thing.
We actually have separate training.
Oh, really?
Connectors. So we're not hooked up to the umbilical cord anymore.
Nice.
They're wireless.
Yeah.
Oh.
We have wireless ones, but
the tethered umbilical cord sucks. Yeah.
So, but I mean, I just sat with him and then slowly but surely, I started answering non-emergency calls and he would listen. And then he was putting him in the computer as I talked. And then I started, doing everything myself. And then we brought in the radio with not answering calls and the radio with answering calls. And we have 4 different radios. So I worked my way up from the slowest to the busiest. And on the exact 3-month mark, I was completely 100% trained, ready to go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well done.
It was really nice.
You're the one successful story.
I am.
taking names.
I am. And I mean, I don't like to toot my own horn here, but I mean, I pick up on
this
things.
This is your week.
I picked up on it very fast. I learn fast and I take notes and I still have those notes to this day. They're in my
mailbox. I still have it. I haven't been in dispatch for over a year.
Yeah.
So, but no, yeah, I'm a very successful story if I do say so myself. And I like to think that I'm a good dispatcher. And, I give my trainer shit about it. Like, "Oh, you taught me all the wrong things. And I learned on my own after the 3 months was over."
You dropped all the bad habits and started over.
That's right.
What about you, Kelly?
Yeah.
Whenever I started at the county, I already came in with some experience. Mm-hmm. So, my first day I got handed a piece of paper that was for an aircraft hijacking.
What?
Yeah. What? Yeah. That was the first piece of paper I was handed.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then I got handed the description from the top down, all that stuff. And then I think it was about 3 days and I was by myself, but I was already EMD certified. I had answered medical 911. So I just kind of picked it up from there.
Holy crap.
Any formal training.
Dang.
we're in the process of changing our training program.
Us too. Kelly is our training coordinator now.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So we're doing a month out of the center.
Yeah. We're talking about doing that.
You go, all our SOPs, how we handle each call, have them listen to calls, have them work on, because we have training CAD. We have a training CAD so they can put in the information as we give it to them. So this first group, that this last group we just hired, that's what we just got done with the month training. Now they'll sit in with their trainers first week or so, and then they'll start taking the non-emergency calls, then build up to 911 and radio.
That's nice.
Dang. Yeah, I need that. Check out your PSAV, man. That sounds pretty awesome.
Seriously. Well, they have me sitting with a girl right now. Uh-huh. I'm not going to say training because she was somewhat trained before me. We do still have one radio that we have not learned yet. So I'm calling it my probationary type of training.
Kind of like the shadow phase.
Yeah. I don't want to say I'm training her. I mean, I do help her and kind of pass along my knowledge.
Is that something that you would like to get into?
I would absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I like to help people.
Of course. forgive me. I forgot.
You have the personality for it too.
Well,
though.
But there's days that I go home and I tell my husband, I'm like, I've only been there for 2 years. Like, I don't feel like they should be trusting me with someone else, but I think fresh eyes is actually sometimes a better approach than sticking them with someone who's been there for 15 years. Who's like, hey, sit down, listen, here you go.
Yeah. Here's there are paper, some people here's that, your are, paper that are for stuck an airplane in their ways. That,
yeah. Here's your paper for an airplane hijack.
Good luck.
Hopefully you don't get one.
See, I've been training for, 18, 19 years of the 20 years. They finally sent me to the APCO training course for trainers, but I had to get out of the habit of doing everything myself. Because I'm that type of personality that I have to do it all by myself. It's like, it's my call. I take ownership. And I've had to let go of that.
That's hard to do.
It is. And when you have a trainee, you have to learn to step back and not take over the call when you're like wanting.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm learning. I grab her mouse sometimes. I'm like, here, do you see that? I'm like, here, go up a box. No, wait, go up. And I'm like, here, give me the mouse. And I'm like, oh, why did I do that? Just give me your mouse. Give me your damn mouse and put it right in the box that I said.
I have a bad habit of being like, okay, well, this time I'll do it. And then when it happens again, then you can do it. But listen to me this time. And then I'm like, oh, well, that's never going to happen again. This is the only time it's ever going to happen. And I just dealt with it for you.
Right.
You're welcome.
Oh, that's funny. Do either of you remember your first call that you took?
Not the first call, no.
Like by myself?
Yeah.
It was a CPR. It was a cardiac arrest myself. And my trainer had just left to Disneyland or World or wherever. And I'd sat with these people for 3 months in the same room, but I was not nearly as comfortable with any of them. And I'm like, oh. And so I turned around and I think they kind of saw me freaking out. So one lady just listened in on me, and I was already EMD certified, so I could go through the motions, but it was this adrenaline rush, and I was just like, okay. I think I said okay like 20 times, and the person probably hated me.
You know what I love about CPR, though, is you have enough time to calm yourself down while calming somebody else down.
Yep.
Like, I always take that first like 30 seconds to get them calmed down, and it calms me down at the same time.
And that's good.
It's awful to say, but I go into this mom mode, but I also like I'm tricking myself into thinking that I'm there. Like I'm telling you to put one hand on top of the other, and I'm doing it now. I put my hands on top of another, and I'm like, let's start 1, 2. And I'm still doing it right here in front of you guys. This is embarrassing.
Well, no, that's a good thing, because I mean, you doing it out yourself and explaining it that way allows them to picture exactly what you want them to do.
Yes. Yes.
So it works out.
But in a sense, I can't grab their mouse and make them do CPR way that I'm saying.
Yeah, that you can't do. You know, talking about CPR and stuff, and I don't know if it's the same way in your CPR classes or anything, but the one that I took, one of our sergeants was giving it, and he was playing Staying Alive.
Yes.
That it has the perfect beat.
But do I remember to say that? No.
No, of course. Plus, yeah, you probably wouldn't say it. But on the other hand, Another One Bites the Dust has the same beat.
Yeah, it does. I didn't think about that. Valid point.
Isn't that messed up?
Yeah, it is messed up.
I've never heard that, and I will never be able to tell that joke again because I'm awful at telling jokes.
It really does.
Yeah, you don't want to say that while you're doing CPR.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Yeah, when I first started dispatching, they told me in my 40-hour class, they eventually did send me somewhere after my initial, hey, it's your turn now training. They were telling me that when you're giving CPR, and it's probably changed now, but they said there's a 5% chance that you get that person back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think it's,
which is really hard if you have somebody that really is wanting to do CPR and wanting to save somebody. It's so hard, right? Because you want to work so hard too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like the reality of the situation is it's probably not going to do any good in the long run. That's actually so hard.
We were leaving. I was leaving mm-hmm. at 6 a.m. one day, and our phones are touchscreen. So I was trying to log out at 6 a.m. and the log out button's right above where you click to answer.
Oops.
And I answered. It was a 911. So I'm like, oh, 911. You know, what's the address of your emergency?
And of course, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. So you already know what it is.
So I'm like, she's telling me, you know, her husband, he's not breathing. And right. So I'm like, okay, ma'am. At that point, I'd already closed out of my EMD. I'd closed out of everything almost. And so I'm like, I just go straight into CPR. And I'm like, I like to ask their name because I'm a customer service person.
Oh,
and
of course.
I feel like,
yeah,
if I say your name, yeah, it makes it more personal. People. So I'm like, well, what's your name? And she told me her name. And I looked on the screen because it was a landline. Mm-hmm. And I saw the last name. And I put the first name and the last name together. And it was a lady that I was the manager over at my retail place.
Oh, no way.
And she's older. And she was like, my grandma, she looks like my grandma. I, you know, I talked to her like my grandma, and my heart started beating, but you know, I got her to keep going through CPR. She didn't know it was me on
right.
the phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did die. And I wasn't sure protocol wise, if I was allowed to say something to her, mm-hmm. you know, granted I sent my condolences because of her husband.
Right.
I walked into the retail store that I worked in, and everybody knew I was going to 911 from that store. And so she said, I had to call 911. And I said, I know, like, I know, ask me if it was me. And she did. She was like, was that you? And I yeah. said, yeah. And she just gave me a really big hug. So, it was nice. It was nice, but it was awful to put a face
right.
to the person
yeah,
on the other end of that line.
That's a hard thing to do.
And that's actually probably the only thank you I've ever gotten, but she did. She gave me a big hug, and I ended up sending her flowers and stuff. And, but it just, my finger just wasn't up far enough on the screen, and I ended up answering that 911 call because that could have been anybody else in that room.
You ever think about that? Does it ever make you wonder, like, what are the odds that yes. I would be the one and but I knew it, these people?
It's comforting to me, and I would like to say it was comforting to her. I mean, right. I worked with her almost every day for a year, mm-hmm. and I still go in there and I still talk to her. As a matter of fact, I like, it's awful. I like to scare her. She's so easily scared. She's my grandma's age. She's in her 60s. She's so easily scared. And while I was there, it was a thing. I would hide behind the beds. I'd come around the corner and I just, you know, just touch her, and she got scared so easily. And so now whenever I go in there, I scare her, and then I start thinking to myself, what if I scare her
to a heart attack?
Yeah. Now you have to deal with it.
Now I have to do CPR on her. But it's comforting for me, for her, and I hope mm-hmm. that it's comforting to her that it was me on the other end of the line.
And that's awesome, because you were able to get that closure as well, which yeah. we all know we don't ever
never
get, you know, closure from those calls.
Yeah.
And you know, some of those will kind of eat you up every now and then, but you just find a way to get through and keep going. I mean, I took calls from my family members, and they were freaking out, you know, they're hysterical on the phone. And I would say, they've always called me Richie, even though my name is Ricardo.
Richie.
You know, yeah. It was like Richie. And, so I'd say, you know, Thea, aunt, you know, Thea, it's Richie. It's
what
Richie.
I call my Thea.
Yeah. And they would say, Oh, mijo. You know, it's like
my son
or little boy, yeah. you know, yeah. like that. And, they'd say, I'm glad it's you. And it would actually calm them down. Right. But the county that I worked for covered the city that I grew up in. And so there'd be people who would call in, and I knew them, but I would never say my name. They all knew me as Rich.
Yeah. yeah.
And I was going, you know, by my real name, Ricardo. So they never knew that it was me, but every now and then I would see one of them and I'd say, hey, how's it going? And it would be like that. They would say, yeah, this happened to me. You know, one specifically, their house burned down. Yeah. And we talked to somebody and they really helped us out. I'm like, oh, and do you know who it was? I'm like, it was me. Like, oh, well, thank you. And one of them actually hooked me up with a drink. So that was good.
Oh, I didn't get a drink.
That's always a benefit.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure. I'm still not sure how our protocol goes. But if somebody asked me if it was me, mm-hmm. I'll say, yeah, that was me.
Well, and it's definitely hard to do it on the phone too, because either you say who you are and they get completely embarrassed and don't want to say anything.
Exactly.
Or you say who you are and they're all about it. And they're like, that was the greatest thing to know that it was someone that I knew.
It gives them a connection.
Right.
Especially if they're alone, then they know that they're not alone anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But well, it's normally when they call 911, they don't get, I don't get my name on 911 because it's 911, what's your emergency? And they let it go. But a lot of people I like go to church with her and know my voice. So then they cause like it.
Yeah.
They would know me sometimes because my radio voice would sometimes come out when I'm talking on the phone. They're like, we know who it is. I'm like, damn.
I guess I'm quote unquote lucky because, you know, we've got a lot of females at our job and mm-hmm. there's like five of us. And everybody always thinks we're all the same.
We're all the same
like
people.
My mom listens to the scanner because she wants to listen to her daughter who answers 911s.
You're a celebrity.
I know, right? And so, like, I won't even be working. And my mom's like, I heard you last night and you were doing such a good job. Or sometimes it's like, why did you say that? I'm like, Mom, that wasn't me. You talked to me on the phone. I was at home. Right. I came over. Do you not remember I was here at your house?
And here's the thing with technology, with these scanners. My dad, who's still in South America, listens to me on the radio.
Holy
he found the
crap.
Scanner.
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy, man, what you can pick up.
Yeah.
I actually, this past Christmas, I was listening to the scanner for my old PSAP, and I was texting one of the guys there, and he's like, yeah, Jill is going to do the Santa Claus BOL. And I was like, all right. So I had to turn it on, and she came on. And he's like, she's doing it now. And it went, there was no delay. It went right on as if I was right there. And my kids were down there like, did you hear that? I was like, yeah, isn't that awesome? And so, you know, they ran upstairs right away and stuff. And I sent her a message. I was like, thanks for doing that. That was great. So she ended up carrying on the tradition from when I was there because I was the one who was doing it. And that was always fun. It was probably one of the most fun things.
There is a great one in Indiana. They do it down around Vincennes. Uh-huh. I'm not sure what county it is, but theirs is amazing. It lasted probably 45 minutes this year. And it's so much fun to listen to. The guys get into it and the dispatchers get into it. And it's hilarious.
Oh,
I worked Christmas and we were just too busy because we had it printed out.
Right.
Ready. Yeah, yeah. But at that moment we were all on phones and radio. So the moment came and then it was gone. So we're like, well, nobody, hopefully your kid isn't awake at 11:30 on Christmas. Yeah. So we're not going to put it out now.
Right.
Theirs isn't even scripted down there. They just wing it. They like script the first part of it. And then the officers start chattering back and forth and start talking about their kids'
That's
houses
pretty awesome.
And stuff.
Now, do either one of you remember maybe your best call or worst call as we're going into the wrap up of this?
I had a lady who stopped breathing mm-hmm. on the phone. But luckily, I was able to, you know, I'd already gotten the ambulance started.
And, right.
She couldn't talk a lot. She came in with like breathing difficulty. And so I was asking her questions and I don't know why they say they have breathing difficulty. And then you ask them, you know, are you changing colors? Well, you know, I don't know that I'm changing colors. I think, and I'm like, just give me one word answer. If you really have breathing difficulty, just say one word.
Right. Yeah.
But she, and I could tell that this one was real. And so I thought she dropped the phone and, I heard my medics come in and then it wasn't until they called in for their times. Cause, you know, they didn't go through. They said that she had actually stopped breathing. Now they were able to revive her I don't know if she was good past that point. I know she was able to be revived.
Right.
Because we never know past that point.
Yeah, exactly.
How they are.
I don't know any of it.
But that was probably my worst because it was the first time that mm-hmm. someone stopped breathing. And it wasn't bad until after the call was over because I didn't realize it. But I remember it now.
Cool.
I had the same thing happen to me. I had a guy call in and I could just barely hear him give the address. Mm-hmm. And I had him repeat it. And after he repeated it, he said, I can't breathe. And I said, okay, you're having problems breathing. And nothing after that. And I was on the phone for so long and I gave out the address to the medics and to the, I was working a police radio that day. And one of our deputies heard the address, wasn't on duty, and it was a relative.
Oh.
So I was on the phone the whole time and I heard him bust in the door because the door was locked. I heard him hook up the AED. He didn't make it. Took me months to even be able to talk about it. It was awful. Like I still think about it.
Jeez.
you never know what to do until that call comes in. And then right. somebody actually, like, I was the last person that guy talked to. Like, it's so hard. Yeah, to even, it's so hard to even think about now.
Yeah.
Over the years, there's been a lot of good and bad calls. I've had a couple. One of them was a kid choking on a marble. Luckily, going through EMD and everything else got him revived, got him breathing again. The other one was a baby born. Uh-huh. That was a neat one.
Yeah, I've delivered a baby too. That's so cool.
The one thing, and I mean, this was years ago. I want to say maybe 8 or 10 years ago. We had a 5-year-old not breathing. Mm-hmm. So, and the officer got there really quick, scooped him up, but he never made it. Come to find out, in the end, grandma had given the child methadone.
Oh no.
Jeez.
You know, but goosebumps.
Don't know that.
You don't know that. And well, grandma's doing 50 years in prison for it. Yeah. But it's the kids. I mean, some get you more than others.
Yeah.
But yeah, and unfortunately.
I had a call and it was like, I kind of think this job is awesome for us. Like, we get to do so much good for people. Mm-hmm. And the kid was 10 years old and mom was getting beat up by the boyfriend. Boyfriend had come home drunk. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning. And that little kid was so brave. Like, I know firemen, I know policemen, you know, they're all brave. They're all heroes, whatever. This little kid was probably the bravest person I've ever talked to in my life. Like, he was so brave. He went out and stood outside, wait for police officers. You could hear mom getting the shit beat out of her in the background. It was awful.
Jeez.
But that little kid, he stood out by the road until police got there, led police in. And the guy started kicking the police officer's ass when he got in there. It was an awful call. But man, that little kid, the bravest kid I've ever talked to. He was awesome.
You know, and the bad thing with working this job, you have kids.
Yes.
You know, I have kids. Yes, they're adults now, but one's still in high school. And they're both living at home. And when they're not home, when they're supposed to be, what happened? Where are they?
Mm-hmm. I'm a worst-case scenario person.
A war on that. And my kids know it. It's just the worst case with my own kids. It's like,
do you think it's because of the job?
Yes. It is because you know what
happens. It gives you a sense of paranoia, really, the job that we do, I feel like.
You know what happens out there. Mm-hmm. And okay, your kids
in your own backyard at that.
Yeah. When they start driving and stuff like that, okay, you will be home at this time. If not, you know,
I'm immediately suspicious of people. And it's
exactly
mostly because of the job.
That's what it is.
It really is.
Let's run them through the system and see what they're
really
at.
The job made me that way, but it's not funny, but I totally blame my mom. She let me watch America's Most Wanted. She let me read true crime books. She let me watch.
Rescue 911 was always my favorite when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Unsolved Mysteries.
There you go. Yeah, Robert Stack.
Yeah.
One of the episodes, Lafayette made it to Rescue 911.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to find that on YouTube.
That was my favorite show when I was a kid.
It was before I started because the two detectives that were on it, they've retired since then. I mean, they were still on when I came on. But yeah, we found that episode.
Nice.
Yeah. But I'm proactive. I bought this really cool book. Anybody who goes to a Walmart, there's a book somewhere. You got to find it. it teaches your kids how to call 911. And mine are 7 and 3. Mm-hmm. It has a little keypad and you press 911 and those are the only buttons you can press. The rest of them don't have like any clicking sounds underneath it. But if you click it 911 instead of 119 or anything, it starts like with the sirens. So we read the book all the time. And we go through it, but my son, he's autistic. So he goes to this therapy and we had one of our local police officers and his canine go do a demonstration. So now my son wants to be a police officer. So he's always
That's awesome.
It's like, Mom, do you want me to call 911? I'm like, no, don't call 911 yet. It's not,
They will find you.
But, he thinks it's awesome that I work at the jail because we're in the basement of the jail. And, he wants to be a police officer and he also wants a German Shepherd, which is not happening right now. but I fully encourage him, although it terrifies me to think once my son gets old enough, if he still wants to be a cop, because I know what can happen and what kind of calls
they get
to. But if he wants to, I will totally be supportive.
Well, we have a training program for kids and what's called Emergency Eddie. And we have a mascot, big head.
Oh, okay.
You can Google it. I think there's one on. But the hospital donated the actual 911 simulator for us for training.
Awesome.
So when we go to health fairs or kids come into City Hall, we have the simulator to show them what 911 is used for.
Yeah.
So we're trying to improve the education, especially with kids, and because they don't realize if you give a child a phone that doesn't work but it still has a battery in it, they can still call 911
all night long.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
You know,
which from that aspect, we almost need more education for the adults.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
a lot of the adults don't even know that.
I advocate education, children, adults, grandparents, I mean, just everybody, really. And I never ever would have thought of it until I started this
job. Older people, they tend to call their kids before they call for help.
Yes.
You know,
all
so
the
that's
time.
What a lot of the education is. You got to educate everybody on it. Because, you know, back when they were little, there was no 911.
No.
You know, it was always call your family first, and they still in that mode.
Yeah.
There's a man that calls and says, I'm just testing my phone, see if it's still working to call you guys. I don't need you. And I'm like, okay, Sarah, that's not why you call 911.
All right.
But yeah, I'm just testing. Nothing here. I'm like, okay,
right.
Bye.
If anything, call the non-emergency line first and then tell us.
But he wants to make sure that it still calls 911.
Right,
I try to tell him it's always going to call 911. Always. But he tests it.
Well, so going into the wrap-up of this episode, this has been awesome. And I don't know if you realize that we've been doing this for just over an hour.
Of course.
And it doesn't even seem like
and
it.
And you didn't even get started with me and Victoria.
I know.
There's so much more. I'll have to do a part
we'll
two.
We'll see you tomorrow.
That's
so
great.
My good friends over at the Cool Kids of 911.
Awesome.
They
people.
Did a parody, and this is all for this week that we're celebrating right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start this. It's a song. It's a parody of, Let It Go, but it's called 911 Hello. And the idea came from Dispatch Dana. She's been on the show before. And there are two people who actually that sing. And I believe it's one of them is a dispatcher and the other one is like the daughter of the dispatcher or something to that effect. But their names end up popping up here and stuff. So I'll give their names at the end of it. And I'll also post this on the blog post once I do this so that everybody can check it out. I've listened to it about 3 times. It really tells Dispatch. So it's funny. So let me start it here.
Please don't sue us.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's ring loud on my console bright. Not a restaurant to be seen. A kingdom of isolation. And it looks like I'm the queen. The alert tones are howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't get the night off. Heaven knows I tried.
That made me laugh right there, that part.
I will buzz you in. First, let me see. Are you authorized? You always have to be.
That's great.
CIC, don't let those calls hold. Don't ever let them hold. 911, hello. Hello.
Base one.
I can't call you back anymore. Hello. Let the shift be trauma rage on. Midnight's never bothered me anyway.
I think I'll make an appearance here in just a minute. Yep, there I am.
It's funny how some coffee makes annoying coworker habits seem small. And the overtime that once controlled me can't get to me at all.
If I don't answer my phone,
that's me too.
What can I do to test my limits? She's arrived at 6:02. Not right, so wrong. No respect for me. I'm free. 911, hello. Hello. I am one with the FB triple I. Hello. Hello. They'll never see me cry.
There's no crying in this mess.
Great, let the phones rage on.
Shh, don't tell Disney.
My voice, it flurries through the air across the waves. Rookie cops who bring me donuts, toads my face.
Toads my goats.
My crystallizes like a frozen cat. I'm never gonna see retirement in 30 years. I'll be done. 911, hello. Hello, occupied nine times. Don't make me yawn. Hello, hello. Kucherov and Co. Comic spelling. Oh. Here I stand. My headset is great. Let the foes array.
It's a lie.
A total lie.
Right.
It's awesome. That needs to good. Be our ringtone really for our 911 calls.
Yeah, that was a good one. So the people who sang it lead and backup was Sarah and Jana, and I'm not even going to say the last name because I'll probably
common
butcher
spelling.
It.
Fallhaber, common yeah. spelling.
There you go. So yes, that was a good one from the cool kids of 911 there, and I. As soon as he sent that to me on the on Facebook, he sent me a message and he's like, you got to check this out. So I watched it and I was immediately started busting up and I sent him a message. I was like, dude, this is awesome. Can I share it? And he goes, yeah. And I said, can I play it on an episode? And he goes, heck yeah, of course. So yeah, I thought that that would be a good one.
That was
for,
clever.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Especially did. For this week.
Yeah.
So now the last question I have for you guys, and then, we'll be all done with this excellent
for
episode,
today,
episode
Ricardo.
81.
For today.
Yeah, for today.
We're here all week.
We are.
Yes, awesome. Then. We'll have to have a couple of drinks and do another
oh,
one.
Oh, we'll no, now goes. You're talking my kind of game.
So what does this week mean for you? National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. What does it mean for you? You know, to,
anybody want to go first or
yeah.
are you going to make me do it again?
We'll make you do it again.
Okay, yeah, okay. That's fine. Yeah. With me.
Go for it.
National Telecommunicators Week. It means a time for us to be noticed. I know a lot of people say we're the unsung heroes. We're the real first responders. You know, we never get recognized. As a matter of fact, there was somebody from Nina, and I am so sorry. I don't know his name. but he spoke at the end of our class yesterday and said, you know, he thanked us all, of course.
Ed.
And was it Ed? I still don't know his last name.
Okay.
But yeah. He said that as dispatchers, we are always the first criticized, which I know probably isn't the right word, and the last recognized, which is true. And I know we talked about this being a thankless job, and I don't expect thank yous for every call that I take, and
right.
I don't expect awards and banquets and food. It's just nice that anybody, even if it's just other telecommunicators, appreciate you know, everybody else and what the job that we do.
Each other.
Yeah. Cause I definitely appreciate everybody in my center, but this week the officers appreciate us, the tow companies appreciate us. So many other places I can't even begin to describe. Churches send us food and, stuff
That's
like
awesome.
That. And it's all awesome that people actually take time out of their day to say thank you to something that they really don't have to.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what this week is. It's awesome. It's just great to say thank you to all the other dispatchers and to everybody before me in the however many years before my little measly two. So, there's mine.
Well, it is a thankless job, but inside you've got to know that you're doing the right thing the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though you get yelled at by public, by the officers, by the fire department. And this week, you have a lot of people who will show a little bit more respect just for that week. But then it just goes back to the normal everyday thing. But if you know that you're doing the thing that you are trained to do the right thing, you know, it's worth it every day.
Definitely. Yeah,
it is.
I think it's like anything in public safety. We're all kind of humble anyways. We don't really like to be recognized or put on a pedestal.
That's
so
true.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
kind of, I always think
that's
it's kind
weird,
of weird
right?
for somebody to be like, oh, you did such a good job. And I'm like, don't look at me.
Well, with that thing, you know, you work as a team. You know,
exactly.
It's not a one person thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a teamwork.
And I always think in terms of my agency. You can say thank you to me, even if I wasn't the one that answered the phone, or if I was.
Yeah.
But it's my agency that employs me. Which it's my agency that trains me.
All the team.
And it kind of...
Well, you may be the one on the radio or the phone, but somebody else has to be on the radio or the phone at the same time.
It sounds kind of corny, but I don't answer every phone call that I dispatch. And I don't always run, you know, orders or stuff through NCIC. I don't do all of that myself, or else they trust me to run the whole county by myself, which they don't.
So I could. No,
she, I mean, nice. I mean, granted, I can.
Right. I'll let Rob know that do it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rock, just cut everybody and pay me and be good to go.
So, yeah. But I mean, it's an agency thing. So, and that's also something I love Kelly. But
I love you too.
But
oh, group.
So, but no, yeah, it's great. Think of it in an agency. At least I do.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you three very, very much for joining me on this episode. I had a lot of fun. Like I said, we've done this over almost an hour and 20 minutes now. Boom. And it doesn't to me. I don't know about you, but to me, it didn't even feel like it.
No, it didn't.
It felt like we've known each other forever. And
I really hope
talking.
We didn't bore anybody.
I know. I really
hope. No, this is all.
Hope you made it through the whole hour and 20 minutes, everybody, because it was a long one.
No, but it's worth definitely, it. Definitely a good one. So for those who are listening, if you have any questions or anything, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That's @911podcast. You can also like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. There's so much that I have to plug here. And you can listen to the show 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and the Jabberlog.com. And remember, for this week, the podcast is sponsored by InDigital and Indiana Nina. Have a good one, everybody.
Yes. Get used to us.
Bye.
Bye.